Welcome back here to wrap up KER Politics. This is the first time Jim and I have done a solo with no guests. And I want to say I think this is a precedent for things to come. I find this show to be much more informative, much more thought-provoking than when we are distracted by guests. Having said that, let's get back to Glenn Youngkin. What's the deal there, Jimmy?
Yeah, so Glenn Youngkin, you know, he comes out of in like last month and a half and basically literally destroys Terry McAuliffe in a right. deep blue state.
Right.
And the accusations that are coming out from numerous, I mean, CNN, MSNBC, all kinds of, you know, major network news, is that somehow this was a racist, white supremacist election, that it was pushed back and people are tired of accepting. I think the argument has been they don't want to teach their children about racism. They don't want to teach their children about, you know, hate. And of course, they're saying that critical race theory was not taught in Virginia, which it's actually on the website for the State Board of Education. So the lies that are being spun are attempting to undermine actually a guy that just was standing up and saying, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing. He's been accused of being, you know, a Christian zealot, of a white right-wing extremist. We're seeing it from the Washington Post, from the New York Times, from every one of the pundits on the network news stations. So I think the very sad reality is that people without moral context, people without willingness to actually critically accept issues, that are not willing to see their own faults, if they keep doubling down on it, they're just going to do whatever they can to win. And I believe that's exactly what happened with Donald Trump. And I think that the Democrats are going to try. They think it worked for them. I believe that many of the extremists, the progressives, felt that violence worked for them in 2020 before the 2020 election. And I'm afraid that they will push at any level and anything in order to win.
Well, I think a lot of people, let's go up to Seattle just for a second. Let's talk about the CHOP. I think a lot of people felt that a lot of the progressives felt that was an okay action, that it was a successful action, that the police would be defunded, etc., that there would be massive disorganizations in the police department. And in effect, what happened, as evidenced by the election results last Tuesday, candidates who were very pro-defunding the police, etc., lost their ass, pardon my French, but they did. And the people who went back to basic moral values pretty much carried that election, I have to say, Jim. Comments?
Yeah, I believe that. So there's one motivating factor that really drives people to the polls, and that's fear.
Right.
COVID was used for fear. Violence was used for fear. And then, of course, now you're seeing regular people, Democrats, liberals, independents, saying, holy, you know, cow, if I call 911, who's going to come? Right. When you're seeing police being fired. So they're fearful of themselves. They're fearful of the economy. They're fearful of this progressive woke ideology that is telling them what they have to think and how they have to think. And that is incredible. Not only is it detrimental to our nation and certainly against the basic principles and the foundations of our Constitution, but I think it's actually tearing apart the Democratic Party. I think this has been going on for a long time. I thought it would actually tear them further apart sooner, but now they're facing the reality of an extremely aggressive far left dividing and separating out the moderates in the middle of their own party. And America is not a far left woke racist country. No. And I think they're going to find that it's going to hurt them very seriously.
Well, I think you're right. You know, and I think part of the reason is a number of the candidates in Seattle made the comment that they're a number of the conservative candidates in Seattle made the comment that their progressive opponents were very, very angry and very, very nasty. Now, I saw that in interviews. I watch the Seattle news because I'm interested in what's going on in my city almost on a daily basis, daily evening basis. And the anger that, for example, Pelosi and Schumer exhibit on television. You want to tell me Schumer doesn't exhibit anger? He looks like the most angry individual in the world, as is Nancy Pelosi, in my opinion. That's the impression that they give. And I have to say that that was a big, big mistake in Seattle, and it caused, basically, in my opinion, the progressives to really lose big time. You know, I made a comment that I went out trick-or-treating with my grandsons on Halloween, and I was totally impressed with the people who I met. All very friendly, all very hard-working, all very, it appeared to me to be open-minded, etc., just nice, decent people. And I made the comment, Jimmy, during one of our daily editorials when I got back, I said, you know, my faith in America has been restored. My same statement was based on only one thing, and that was a gut-level feeling. But it would appear that my gut-level feeling worked out correctly. I think that Seattle, I think that the fact that the mayor is not running for re-election, I think that the fact that the original police chief who Durkin put in left her position because she said, I'm unable to enforce the law, etc., actions speak louder than the words. And the actions of Mayor, former Mayor, no, she still is the Mayor, Durkin, and the police chief really show that the CHOP philosophy did not work. It's a real shame that that turned out to be a violent situation and a few people were actually killed. What did those people die for, you know? What a shame is all I can say, Jimmy.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, when you talk about, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and, of course, AOC, and then the anger from the left, you know, that's the motivating factor. That's what's getting people out. What they believe is the way to achieve success is through this aggressive, very, you know, let's take everything we can, and then whatever we get, we'll hold. What you find is most Americans are good people.
Yep.
They aren't racist.
Nope.
The vast majority of Americans want to do the right thing. And you have these extremists on this very far outside left that are really trying to motivate and intimidate and use fear as a tool. And it worked for them with COVID. It worked for them with violence, with the George Floyd protests, because they were successful in somehow getting Joe Biden, basically a senile old man that is very incompetent and not running anything right now, they got him elected. And I think that is something that we need to be concerned about, that there are still a lot of people that listen to that. And of course, that's what's happening on the news, the major news networks as well. Glenn Youngkin ran on a very positive campaign. We're going to make Virginia better. We're going to let parents have control of the, you know, be a part of their students and their kids' future. We want that to happen. We want the economy to go forward. You see the complete opposite of government control on the opposition side. And I think it's very, I don't know, it's very detrimental. And the more they try to control, the more damage they do. And I know we're getting close to time here, but let's look at the Democrats' heroes. People like George Floyd, you know, who stuck a gun to a pregnant woman's belly and threatened her with her life, you know, who was on fentanyl and died with, you know, of a heart attack while resisting arrest. Let's look at Bill Clinton. Let's look at Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti's in prison right now for lying and for stealing. Robert Mueller, completely incompetent. Jim Comey, Fiona Hill, these people that were publicly raised up as heroes are now being undermined and proving the lies. And the more they go, you know, it's very sad. It's very sad. We want heroes that actually do good for communities.
Jimmy, I disagree. It's not very sad. It took a while, but I think it's going to come out. And I think what's happening now is going to be a testament to the greatness of the United States of America, my country, all of our listeners' country, and your country. We'll be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.